Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
LeBron James hasn't played, as I said, in the last 15 games, but he always is able to find a way in the news. And what he did today, he went on Instagram. He's obviously the social media king during the regular season.
This wouldn't be a news story in the old days when you had print in the newspaper because there wouldn't be enough space. But because it's unlimited space, it's a story.
I think it's a story, period.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to get into all the technicalities.
But go ahead.
He sent out an Instagram message, if you haven't seen it. He was singing the song Rewind by Fetty Wap. Yes, singing. LeBron was singing the song Rewind by Fetty Wap, and he tagged Kyrie, and now everyone is wondering what's going on. Rob, it was blatant recruiting. That's what LeBron's
doing. Is that what it is?
That's what he's doing. Now, if he came out and did that on his own, it would look really weak. And I don't think he would have done it on his own. But Kyrie made the first step. Kyrie came out.
Kyrie opened the door.
First of all, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I would think this was weak if LeBron did that and Kyrie was still, as far as we knew, upset with him or didn't want to play with him and you know, hadn't apologized and all that. But Kyrie opened the door when he came out. First, he called LeBron, of course. Then he unsolicited with the media.
Yeah, he didn't have to bring that up.
I called him.
Right, he wanted people to know. He planted that story.
They did talk, and I'm told it was genuine. It was a good conversation, and I'm guessing they were probably reminiscing. Obviously, they were talking about the past, so they probably started reminiscing about good times, and LeBron went with the rewind because here's the thing, Rob. We don't know anything 100%. But we all think we know, and LeBron knows what's going on too. We all think they're not getting Kevin Durant. They're not getting Kawhi Leonard. They're not getting Klay Thompson. So if you can't get any of those guys, you know who's next on the list? Kyrie Irving. And I guarantee you, we saw him on Instagram, but he would have no problem whatsoever taking Kyrie back.
Of course he wouldn't, because LeBron James has reached desperation mode. He understands that he can't get anybody to play with him. So why not go back to your ex, even though it wasn't good, you know, when there was some issues.
But it wasn't always good.
You know that. It wasn't always good.
Every couple has their disagreements.
It wasn't always good, but why not go back to your ex? And LeBron James has stooped to an all-new low because you know what? He is. He ain't too proud to beg.
Who, me?
Hold on.
Wait. Beg. Please call Kyrie. He's begging for Kyrie to play with him. Kyrie walked out on him. Kyrie walked out and said, I'd rather have knee surgery or surgery than to play with LeBron James.
You painted a nice little relationship scenario. Here's the problem. Okay, let's say you're dating a girl and you have some great times together, but like you said, sometimes it's rough. And she wants out. She breaks up with you. But then, 2 years later, she's out there. She dates a few guys and, you know, all that. And then she comes back 2 years later and apologizes.
He did not apologize for leaving him. That's not what the apology was about.
Okay, let me finish
my
scenario.
Okay, but don't make it up some story like he apologized for leaving.
Did I say that? I said apologize. I wasn't finished before you jumped all up in my face. All right, so
relax.
Right. So, like Frankie said, relax.
All right.
Relax.
All right. So she comes to you, knocks on your front door. All right? Knocks on your front door. Rob, man, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It was me. It wasn't you.
And
it was me. I know you weren't perfect, but I did so many things wrong. And, you know, man, we had some great times together. And then you come out a week later and send her an Instagram saying, you know, singing Rewind or some love song. That's not begging.
It is.
She threw you the olive branch.
No.
Now you saying, yo,
if he would
let's get it on. You saying my man Marvin Gaye. Yes, that's what he's doing.
It would be totally different if it was.
There you go.
No.
There's no shame. There is no shame, Rob Parker. If she comes at you,
no.
She coming apologizing to you, and then you send her. This was y'all song.
LeBron is desperate because I would be like, sorry, baby doll, you made a decision, and there's consequences in these United States when you walk out on me. You walked out on me. You'll never walk back through that door, Kyrie. I don't care how desperate and down and out I am with those damn Lakers who stink if I'm not on the court. I came. You walked out on me. You will not ever come back and get in this bed with me again. It's done.
But see, that's where you and LeBron are different. LeBron is a forgiving soul. He went back to Dan Gilbert, and what did he get him? A championship!
No.
LeBron, what's they're saying? Progress over pride. Something to that effect. It might be exactly that. Progress over pride. LeBron James is that rare superstar who is forgiving. He's not going to hold a grudge. He understands what Kyrie was going through. So there's nothing wrong with it.
Hey. 877-99 on Fox is our number. People are not going to agree with you.
877-996-6369. Hit us up.
I know you're not going to take LeBron's side and beg because desperate.
Brownies.
He's desperate. That's where he is.
All right, it's the iCup. If you want to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox is the number. Is all the begging on social media a bad look for LeBron? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There it is. That was the jam back in the day. You know, I always love bringing on hip-hop artists, especially old school, because that's my favorite form of music, hip-hop. And this guy has a huge hit, 1989, I believe it. His name is Young MC. You can follow him on Twitter at Official Young MC.
No, we love this song.
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen? Man? Welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's happening?
It's my pleasure, man. Definitely. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on, man. And I was a senior in college when that song "Bust a Move" came out. You were in college too, right?
Right. So you're around my age because I recorded it during my junior year, and it came out finals week of after finals of my senior year in '89.
So right, had just graduated.
Just graduated. I literally had the summer to either do the music or go to grad school or get a real job, and the record took off.
Wow, I was about to ask you what it was like on campus.
Man, that must have been amazing.
A star with a hit like that, or did you experience that?
I didn't really experience it. I mean, if you know LA radio, K-Day, you know, the old K-Day AM up on Alvarado, I had a couple records that had done something during my junior and senior.
Yeah.
Junior, senior years before that. But those weren't big records in terms of all the kids on campus. So some kids knew about me, some of the athletes, some of the frats knew about it. But only afterwards, after I graduated, that's when Busta Move came out in blue.
So did that song come from, you know, experience in life or what was going on, you know what I mean? Being able to step up to a chick and ask her, like, yo, you want to roll with me? I mean, how did that come around?
Were you shy? Was that, like, your alter ego? Or
No, you know, it's funny. It, you know, I didn't really. If you see it, the song is mainly in third person, you know. So, right. So I'm, you know, kind of just telling the story, kind of like Rod Serling, you know, looking right, at the Twilight Zone kind of thing. Right. That
giving
and that,
advice.
By the way, that was described to me after somebody had listened to the song and they described it to me like that. I'm like, that's a pretty good description. I didn't put myself in the middle of any of it, you know. I didn't say how good I was with the ladies or what I did or what. No, this is what you do,
right.
And I think that's why people identify with it so much, because it was a story that not only was I trying to identify with people, but I was saying you. And with all the stories I told, it's a very verbose record. There's four verses in it. I'd never be able to put out a record that long today. But with all those stories, somebody could identify with something from the male side or the female side. And I think that's what helped, you know, the record be so popular.
And Chris identified with being Poindexter, I think. So that's why he liked that song so much.
I got heat from guys named Poindexter.
Now, I remember the songs you had before Bust the Move. I can't remember all the names, but I do remember you were a good MC.
Yeah, I let them know my name is Young, had the fastest rhyme. They you know, they played me on K-Day and then KJLH, and this is before Power. You know what I mean? This is back when there really wasn't much rap on radio. Like, as a kid, I was shocked to hear, you know, when Rapper's Delight came out, to hear Rapper's Delight on FM so I could actually hear the hi-hats. So I was so accustomed to listening to bad cassettes and listening to AM radio. So that was the approach that I had. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I never swore in my music, because we came up at a time where we wanted to get on the radio.
Right.
So you never wanted to give a radio program or a radio station a reason not to play your record. So it wasn't about being soft or being goody two shoes or whatever. You wanted to get the music out there. The kids come along, they're able to do gangster stuff and all that because they feel comfortable that the genre's not going to go away. Where that I had that pressure on me pretty much the whole time through, like, oh, is this going to last or is it going to go away like disco? You know, I had that. I would get that question all the time.
Right. It's the Odd Couple. We're joined by Young MC. I'm glad you brought that up because, like I said, I thought you were actually a great lyricist. Like, you had skills, but you did get this bad rap after Bust the Move where, you know, gangster rap started coming out and people thought you were like pop. You know what I'm saying? And did that bother you?
Not really, because here's the funny thing. Number one, I grew up on the East Coast. So I grew up on the East Coast and then come out to USC, and I got my record deal after, you know, during junior year at USC. So that's where the West Coast side came from. But I came up with NWA and DOC and Ice-T and Toddy T Batarang. And all. I mean, you know, a lot of the influential hip-hop stuff, that's where I was coming from with those records before Bust the Move. I would play Skateland and World on Wheels and the Casa and like Elks Lodges and places like that. A lot of places where, you know, a lot of the cats that were also on K-Day would be played. So Bust the Move comes out and crosses over. So the nation, you know, the nationwide, they may see me as a pop artist or whatever, but, you know, guys were telling me, oh, yeah, I was locked up and this dude in the next cell was playing, you know, your flip side or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't necessarily the demographic I was going for, but thanks very much, you know what I mean? So that's how I looked at it. So I always said, in terms of having that kind of reputation and people trying to put that label on me, I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, if anybody want to go bar for bar, we can do it.
Right.
Because that's how I was at that time, and anybody who heard me spit wouldn't say that. And anybody who had come up with me or had seen me come up out there, they wouldn't say it. So that was the thing. I wasn't like a guy that had a pop record that couldn't flow.
Right.
And anybody that knew anything about rhyming would listen to it and know that.
How young were you? Because you were actually born in London, England.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, grew up in New York. We're in Queens, in Hollis. Okay, because I'm from Jamaica.
Okay,
Jamaica, so, Queens. So,
211th Street and 109th Avenue.
Yeah, okay. I'm from Linden and Merrick, right there.
There you go. So you wouldn't be too far from LL.
No, not at all, right.
And I got married over there.
Right, he got married at the Triangle Church on Linden and Merrick, right there. But I was going to say, like, you don't have like, I have friends who were born there and had some years in London and they have an accent, and you don't have one at all.
No,
so,
man,
I was wondering, how young were you?
My parents left when we came to the States when I was 3, and then stayed in New York until I was until I was 18, and then came out to California. So I kept a little of my New York accent. Like, people out in California would say I have a New York accent, but then people, that would hear me from New York said, oh, you haven't been here for a while. You know what I mean? So I sounded like I was from the Midwest, even though I never lived in the Midwest. So this is one of those things.
Here's the New York accent for people who don't know. Call me. We'll talk about dogs, daughters, and coffee.
Yeah. And the way you can tell the difference is if somebody's going to drive you, and an East Coast guy's going to drive, he's going to take a half hour, right?
Yep.
If a West Coast guy's going to drive, he's going to take 30 minutes.
Yeah. Right. There you go. Right. You're right.
That's right. But, man, look, we wanted to get into sports with you, but we're crushed for time.
Hey.
So give me a quick sports take. Yeah, you're a Knicks fan, right?
Yes.
Hey, you out here in LA, man. You have an excuse to switch.
Well, you got to see the Knicks beat the Lakers when he came to town, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The grand scheme of it is, I'm worried about the coach. I'm worried that all of this stuff is going to be put
in
on
New
Fizdale,
York. Right.
even though it's not the team he's going to be coaching, even though it's not the personnel or the scheme he's going to be coaching. He's trying to work out which of these like 10 top draft picks he's going to keep for the real team. And I'm hoping he gets a chance to do that without getting the stigma of, oh, your team went 13, 14,
right,
15 or whatever, and they put it on him when he don't have a squad for that, and he don't have Porzingis.
Well,
it's not right.
Right. Well, the players around the league like him. They know they have a chance at some of these big-name free agents. So I think he's safe for a few years if they don't get somebody. But if they get somebody or if they get Zion Williamson, who knows? Maybe their fortunes could change. But, man, we appreciate
the time.
Thank you, man.
We have to bring you on again to talk sports.
Please do. And if it's not Zion, I want that jock kid.
Oh, yeah, that boy is – woo! He looks like Vince Carter.
Well, the way they're playing, they're going to get one
and
of
Russell.
Them.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Let's talk some baseball.
Hey!
I know you love this.
I do. And you know what? After the Super Bowl is all over, Chris, right? Next Sunday.
Yep.
It's going to kick in. Spring training is going to get ready.
Right.
Pitchers and catchers report. It won't be long. And it's been a weird offseason, but strange, too.
Last year was similar.
Very strange, and I'm starting to be concerned about baseball from the standpoint of I don't think they're playing to the fans. I think they're so caught up in the analytics so much.
So this is sparked by the free agency, right?
Yes, and what I'm saying
Manny
by
Manny Machado, Bryce Harper still in the market. And A.J. Pollock.
A.J. Pollock, and Chris, you know I love baseball.
Right.
A.J. Pollock, does that move the needle anywhere for anybody? Seriously.
That's the biggest non-pitcher contract signed yet, and it was 4 years.
$55 million.
Roughly $50 million.
And
that's the biggest.
You know what did you look? The guy's been hurt a lot in his career.
Yeah.
And he knocked in 61 runs last year.
Never had more than, 74, 76?
Really?
RBI, something like that.
And if you're a Dodger fan, seriously, you mean to tell me you gave up Puig and Kemp, and this is who you got? This is who you're bringing back? This is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So this is where we're talking about the analytics. We could talk about what it's doing to the game itself in terms of
both this
home
two runs,
strikeouts, all that. But we're talking right now, you're talking mainly financially.
Yes, like what are you doing? There are guys out there, and this whole notion of, because, I don't have any proof, Chris. Collusion going on. Nobody's interested. Nobody wants to spend money on those are two. Bryce Harper is not this is not Albert Pujols, Chris, who played a bulk of his career in St. Louis and then is cashing out for a big contract as an older player, right? That 10-year deal. Bryce Harper's young.
26.
He's 20.
He and Machado.
They're young. You know what your prime is? Do you know when they consider your prime in baseball? 31, 32, which would be in the middle of this contract. So this is not outrageous. They're not 29 looking for a contract for 10 years. They're young.
But Harper, and I don't know that this would even matter, to be honest, but Harper hit 249 this year.
I got it.
And hit 243 3 years ago.
He's off. Well, so was MVP.
So he's up and down. Right. He had the great MVP season. Then he comes back and hits 243.
Right. No, there's no doubt about it. But I'm just saying from the standpoint, And baseball, people have off years sometimes, and he's a great player. He's a somebody you would be willing to go spend money or get season tickets.
You know what I'm saying? Sure.
There's a lot of players who don't move the needle. Like, you get them on your team, I'm not spending any money. You know what I mean? Or I'm not excited about the upcoming season. And that's what's so weird about this. And then the type of – we saw it in the World Series. Whether it was Dave Roberts or not, Chris, when you go to Boston and you sit your four best home run hitters who don't play in game – don't start
because
in game one
lefties,
and two
left-handed pitcher.
Because they're left-handed pitchers going. We just saw Mariano Rivera just get into the Baseball of Fame, right, with 100% of the vote. Was there ever one time that one of his managers go, oh, we can't pitch Mariano here in the ninth because a lefty's coming up? We don't care who's coming up.
Right.
He's that good.
Because that doesn't take into effect what a guy might do, how he might react to being on the big stage. Some guys freeze. Maybe they might be a right-handed hitter against a lefty, and they're great against lefties, but they can't handle the moment.
Right.
And then other guys who might not even be stars rise to the occasion. And like, you take out the human element, and that's what analytics do
and here is the other,
in all the sports.
No doubt. And, Chris, here's the other part. Really? Baseball is following the lead of the Oakland A's who haven't won jack? Look at this stadium. People don't even go. They were in first place. They made the playoffs, Chris. It's a boring style of baseball with no stars. It stinks.
Right.
That's what we're following the lead of the Oakland A's who can't win? They used to be great.
Right.
Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco.
Dave Stewart, McGuire.
They had stars.
Yep. Well, basically,
why are we following the Oakland A's?
You're making a lot of sense. And what the analytics are doing is it's changing how you value players.
Yes, that's what.
So a lot of people that are stars, I don't know what were Reggie Jackson's analytics have been.
He strikes out too much.
That would have been.
He might have been good because they don't care about the strikeout again. You're right.
Right,
but it's about the home.
A Rod Carew,
right,
a base hitter. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Ichiro, I don't know if his analytics would have been good or not. But the point is, here's what the crux of the matter is, Rob. Because I do get this, and I've said it before on the show. If I owned a team, I would not want to give a player an 8 to 10 year deal. When most name one, I did eight. I guess A-Rod.
They won a World Series, Chris. It's not like you're going to win all the time.
But a lot. I mean, Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, but he was older, and I get it.
Well, if it used to be pay you for what you did.
And here's the other thing.
They got to change the fact that you can't become a free agent
after the first,
until you're
six years.
6 years of
right.
Service.
That's what I'm saying. That's a long time. So those
you
are
might be at your best, and most likely you're at
but
at least some
are,
of your
those
best.
Those are some of the years that you don't get paid. So that's why. If you look at baseball,
that's what they're doing. They're changing it.
Right. They're trying to, like, not pay you then and not pay you later.
Right.
Look,
again, if I owned a team, I would not be trying to give somebody that type of contract.
It's just
because most of them have not worked out, have not led to wins. Do they have – I know the NBA because that's what I cover with their collective bargaining. And they have something where the players essentially get 50% of basketball-related income, no matter what. So if the owners weren't paying out, like say this happened in basketball and owners didn't want to give out these big max contracts anymore, and they weren't, and because of that, the players weren't getting 50%
right.
of the revenue. That money would go in what they would call escrow, and at the end of the season, if they say they only gave out 45% of league revenue, the players would split whatever that
right.
remaining 5%
was. I
got
you.
Now, that doesn't help stars. But it helps your average mediocre player.
Yeah, no,
and
I get
need,
it.
I don't. Do they have that? If
no, because they don't have
that in baseball.
No, there's no cap or anything. There's no number.
Okay, so that's what so the players are going to have to fight for something like that. If this is how the owners
right,
are going to play,
right? It's a free market system, and they have to. And I saw Tony Clark, who's the president of the Players Union, said that you know what they're doing is hurting the game more than. Worried about how slow it is or trying to speed it up. I mean, his quote was well-crafted. I have to get the exact quote. But I got what he was saying, Whereas, what are you doing to the game though? It's like you're dumbing down the game to that. Here's the other thing, Chris, and we'll bring this up. We talked about it with allowing people to do the shifts.
Right.
Now you're taking hits away.
Yep.
Nobody's on base. Nobody's stealing. It's only a home run or a strikeout.
Right.
That's boring.
They should get rid of this.
They got to do
that. They got to get rid of shit.
No, there's nobody on base.
I would even strongly consider some type of limit to how many pitchers you can use in a game.
You pitch to this guy, the next guy comes up, you come back, you come in and pitch.
It's ridiculous.
All these guys are fresh. There used to be guys in baseball who used to pitch a doubleheader, Chris, on a Sunday.
Right.
They pitched both games. And now
didn't get hurt like the guys.
No,
today.
But now you have a guy who pitched for every batter. All right, in the eighth inning, one guy comes out. Okay, next guy comes in, a fresh guy. You know how hard it is to hit off against a fresh guy every at bat?
Right. But another thing, Rob, and this is kind of goes back to the money issue. Stars, you're right. Like analytics takes away stars. They're going to tell you, you know, that so-and-so who hit 320 and everybody loves him really isn't that valuable.
We'd rather take the guy bat 250 with a higher on-base percentage.
Right,
that's
right.
Exactly what you're...
Now, that might be correct analytically, but stars sell these sports, right?
And
that's one of the things the NBA was great. David Stern, I think personally, was the greatest commissioner in America.
I got some
history.
Issues with him, but I
get it. Yeah, I ain't saying he was the greatest guy necessarily, although I liked him. But I thought what he did with the obstacles the NBA was facing, I thought he did a great job. And one of the things he did was marketed stars.
But he also had a star. When you get Michael Jordan.
But beyond Michael,
yeah.
Every team, like look at the NBA right now. Every single team, for the most part, has one player that people want to go see. The Phoenix Suns, you want to see Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. The Dallas Mavericks, I want to see Luka Doncic. Those are bad teams. But most teams have a guy whose name is on the marquee and people like know him.
No, I understand.
And
that's what you want, but
yeah,
that's
they
what you...
marketed stars. And baseball, if they want to go to this vanilla,
right.
Nobody's a star,
and everybody,
it's
going
right. to hurt the game.
It's already hurting the game. I just don't get it. The other teams, like the Red Sox, didn't do that. They went out and signed J.D. Martinez last year. You know what they
right.
did? They won a World Series. Where would they have been without him if they were just looking for a guy? He's a home run hitter.
No, you're right.
They won a World Series. But instead, everybody's following the Oakland A's lead, but they've never won anything. They made a movie about the Oakland A's and them winning 20 games in a row. Like, you would think you make a movie and Brad Pitt's in it. You won a championship. That's
right.
the end of the story, right?
Right, right.
Oh, they
You're
did
right.
it with less
That's
money.
That's a great point.
They did made a
what
movie about
doing?
A team.
You didn't win anything.
They didn't even win. All they did was win 20 games in a row, and they left out in that movie.
That's like doing a movie about the Toronto Raptors.
Right.
Okay, they won 50 games.
But they got
years.
Swept.
Right.
And in that movie, they left out the three pitchers that they had, you know, the three stud pitchers, because that was really why they won. Like, they left them
right.
out of the movie. They cut them out,
right.
and they were talking about these other things.